A breaking story this morning. It is that the Nolan Show now has in its possession a letter that the Prime Minister, Theresa May, has written to both Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness in response to a series of questions and concerns that the First and Deputy First Minister had in terms of Brexit. They wrote this on the 10th of August. It has been widely reported that the Executive Office didn't and hadn't received a reply. Gavin Robinson from the DUP revealing on the show this morning that indeed they had now received a reply. To be fair to the Executive Office, the reply was only dated the 14th of October, so just a matter of days ago. And again, to be fair to the Executive Office, as soon as we asked for it, they have made it public. So there's no suggestion whatsoever of them not wanting you to see this response. They've given it to us as soon as we have asked for it, which was a matter of minutes ago. So I'm going to read this to you for the first time. That I'm seeing it as well. I've also put it on my Twitter feed. If you want to see this and read it for yourself, you can do so. That's on at Stephen Nolan right now. Dear Arlene, I think the same letter was written to both Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness, but addressed to them separately. Dear Arlene, writes the Prime Minister, I am writing to invite you to the next plenary meeting of the Joint Ministerial Committee, which is due to take place. And so it goes on. As I outlined in our meeting in July, I'm committed to full engagement with the Northern Ireland Executive on the UK's exit from the EU and will take full account of the specific interests of the people of Northern Ireland in order to get the best possible deal for all parts of our United Kingdom as we leave the EU. Thank you for your letter dated 10th of August setting out the Northern Ireland Executive's priorities. I understand that the Secretary of State for exiting the EU has been in contact to discuss the issues you outlined and wrote to you on the 30th of August proposing a ministerial meeting to take forward that engagement through the machinery of the Joint Ministerial Committee, which will complement and enhance our bilateral engagement. I agree with you that the future of the border with Ireland is of the highest priority for Northern Ireland and indeed is an important priority for the UK as a whole. The UK Government, the Northern Ireland Executive and the Irish Government have all been clear that we wish to see the continuance of the free movement of people and goods across the island of Ireland and the maintenance of the common travel area across the whole of the UK and Ireland, which has served us well. No one, writes the Prime Minister, wants to see a return to the borders of the past. The disruption that would bring to the people and businesses crossing the border as part of their daily lives and the opportunity it could present for those who are not committed to supporting the political process and the rule of law. The Prime Minister continues, I also recognise the unique issues raised by the single electricity market and the supply of gas to Northern Ireland, and resolving these will be a priority for the government. We are committed, writes Theresa May, to working with you, with the Irish Government and with the EU to make sure that Northern Ireland continues to have access to an affordable, secure and sustainable supply of energy for business and domestic use. The agri-food industry and structural funds are also high priorities. We recognise the need to find a satisfactory solution. And then she ends this by saying that she would be grateful if they could confirm their attendance. She's been copying this letter to the Secretary of State. Our business editor, is that your title now, John?
Economics and Business.
Economics and Business, not just business, you see. More money for you. What's your response to this, John?
Well, I think the thing which we can see is the most definite commitment is to the common travel area, which is something that all the governments are pretty much agreed on as they want to maintain. And we heard quite a lot about that in recent weeks about, this idea that the Irish government would be involved, if you like, in policing the UK's external borders, which is frankly something it already does as part of the common travel area. And this is the idea that people are able to move north and south with the minimum of checks and also move from the island of Ireland to the UK with the minimum of checks. And so there's a commitment there to that, saying that the maintenance of the common travel area served us well, and no one wants to see a return to the borders of the past. But beyond that, there's no real commitments, frankly, because no return to the borders of the past is a very, very flexible phrase, which can mean virtually anything. And for example, it talks here about we wish to see the continuance of the free movement of people and goods across the island of Ireland. But that idea about the free movement of goods is a tricky one, because one of the things which may happen as a result of Brexit, as we leave what's called the EU Customs Union, that would mean the border between North and South then becomes a customs frontier. And that would impose some sort of impediment to the movement of goods.
So how could there be free movement of goods then? If you have that, how could there be?
Well, people say we can have, if you like, an electronic solution to that, that there would be need to be very little in the way of intrusive checking. But ultimately, if you have a customs border, there's going to have to be some sort of customs check. They may be minimal, but still, it's a reality. And the UK still hasn't, the UK government still hasn't said whether we're going to be in the customs union or out of it. Although the big thing about the customs union, if you stay within it, then it means you can't go out into the world and negotiate your own trade deals. So I think it's highly likely we'll be out of it.
Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness, in this letter that they wrote to the Prime Minister on the 10th of August, said they referred to our need to retain access to labour. Policies, they said, need to be sufficiently flexible to allow access to unskilled as well as highly skilled labour.
Yeah.
I can't see anywhere in this, unless I've missed it, that the Prime Minister has addressed this.
All they really say here is the agri-food industry is a high priority. We recognise the need to find a satisfactory solution. So, again, very broad brushstroke stuff, because what we heard yesterday, actually, in some evidence that the Northern Ireland Food and Drink Association were giving to a House of Lords committee, was that 60% of people who work in Northern Ireland food factories are from outside the UK and are mainly from Eastern Europe. And about 90% of seasonal agricultural workers are also from outside the UK. So what this association was saying is we need to keep access to those sorts of people in order that our industry can at least stand still, never mind grow. But the flip side of that is, of course, Theresa May and her government have been very clear that what people voted for in Brexit was a crackdown on low-skilled labour coming from Europe. So it's going to be difficult to square that circle. And we know within the letter that Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness wrote, they talked about that need to access low-skilled labour. And there's no real detail on that here, and it's a circle that's going to be difficult to square.
EU funds have been widely talked about.
Yeah.
And indeed, Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness wrote from the letter in August of this year. They say EU funds have been hugely important to our economy and the peace process. They say they've benefited since 1994 to the tune of €13 billion of funding from Europe. The current uncertainty, says Arlene and Martin, around the ability to draw down a proportion of these funds and the absence of EU programmes in the future is of real concern to a range of sectors. So they highlighted the current uncertainty, and the Prime Minister hasn't even referred to it in her letter.
Yeah, I suppose that might be because that issue was sort of dealt with by the Chancellor. When he was speaking at the Conservative Party conference, he basically said anything which is going to be was due to be funded via Europe up to 2020, if there's any danger of those funds being lost, then we make up the shortfall. So in essence, you got a UK government commitment up until 2020. But of course, anything beyond that is just far too difficult for the government to give any commitment to. So again, that's another one, you're right, where the question goes pretty much unanswered. And I suppose what we might see in these exchange of letters was just that the First and Deputy First Minister were trying to lay out what they think Northern Ireland's interests are in the negotiations which are going to be coming up. And really this is the Prime Minister more or less saying, thanks very much, we've noted what you've said, we'll bear that in mind, we'll keep you in the loop. But clearly they're not making any great commitment there beyond the maintenance of the common travel area.
And so I guess you could read into, John, this response from the Prime Minister in one of two ways. Either she's not ruling out a lot of the uncertainty that continues to worry some sectors, mm-hmm. or what do you expect her to do? It's early days.
Yeah, I think there's a large element of that where, you know, what we've heard from Theresa May's government is this phrase, we're not going to give a running commentary on our negotiations or our negotiating position. So I suppose they wouldn't want to reveal too much of their hand in this, because ultimately for business, the two key questions are we going to be in the customs union, and are we going to be full participants in the single market? But there's no way that Theresa May was going to be answering those sorts of questions in this letter. So it's all kept very vague.
So, John, mm-hmm. is it your assessment that the Executive Office, that the DUP and Sinn Féin, can hold up this letter and say, look what we've got in this, or not? Is this good for them or bad for them?
Well, I suppose finally getting a reply, it's good for them. When did they send it? August?
Yeah.
So
10th of August.
Yeah, so the 2 months on, they've got their reply, which, again, they'll be happy to see that. And the fact that they're basically being asked along to this joint ministerial committee, they'll say, yes, our voices are being listened to. But in terms of any great commitment to what they see their priorities are, there's not a lot they can point to, really. But as you suggested, that was probably unrealistic. They were going to get that anyway.
OK, John, thank you very much indeed. That's John Campbell. Copy of the letter is already out on our Twitter feed. It'll be up on our Facebook page very shortly indeed. Steve Aiken, you've stayed with us. Ulster Unionist Party MLA, your response to what you've heard? Well, you've got the letter now, and the executive have got it and have made it public within days of getting it.
First thing, Stephen, thank you very much indeed for the public service of actually prying it out of the executive office, because it's not come across any of the official channels here. So well done. And actually, having read it and having spent a lot of time working at Whitehall, it's a classic repeat-back letter. And in some respects, it's quite worrying, because all it's done, it's looked at the issues that have been raised and have just come back and said, we've noted them. But one of my main concerns looking at the letter is in paragraph 4, where it says, I agree with you that the future of the border with Ireland is of the highest priority for Northern Ireland. But then she goes on to say, indeed, is an important priority for the UK as a whole. So I would have been concerned there that she would have talked about it being the highest priority for the United Kingdom as a whole going forward. I'm really glad to see that she's mentioned the issues of common travel area. But we know the discussions that have already been going on with the Irish government. That's one of the things that they've decided that that's not going to change. But the really important issues, the things we need some clarity on, particularly on sort of the free movement of people, issues to do with sort of energy, which has been alluded to, and bearing in mind that we've had the House of Commons Northern Ireland Select Committee is in Stormont today looking at energy issues and the concerns on everything from interconnectors, single island energy market, and where we go to. Those are significant areas. And particularly in the agribusiness sector, where they're trying to get some form of certainty about the way going forward, she could have addressed some of those sort of key issues there as well. And the fact that it's taken 2 months for basically what is a return of a routine letter actually fills me with some concern. And it's also, you know, I also recognise, to quote the Prime Minister's words, I also recognise the unique issues raised by the single electricity market and supply of gas. Well, that's fairly obvious, and indeed her minister should be making her fully aware of the unique and actually quite challenging, and to use that horrible politician's word, a statement about where we're actually sitting.
Okay.
I think that's a real concern.
Steve,
but Stephen, just because I've got this in front of me, and just a couple of other key points, and I know this, we would normally be a bit better prepared in this, but having just seen it now, where it says the agri-food industry and structural funds are also high priorities, bearing in mind government talks in sort of areas of the most important, important, high, low, whatever it happens to be, there's a code speak in that. And sort of one of the things that it's basically saying, as your sort of, the previous commentator just said, basically they're saying nothing's on the table, nothing's off the table, but you're just going to have to wait. So the one thing that we wanted out of this was a degree of certainty, or even some sort of clarity. And unfortunately, we have neither.
Steve Aiken, thank you. Sam McBride from the newsletter with us this morning. Your reaction to this, Sam?
Morning, Stephen. I think that really the Prime Minister is playing this with a very straight bat. The First and Deputy First Minister has delivered a fairly unexpected letter in her direction earlier this year. Certainly Arlene Foster, what she was signing up to in that initial letter, was fairly extraordinary given how recently she'd just been campaigning for Brexit. She'd have seen that as a pretty pragmatic step to just try to get as much money out of the government as possible at this stage. But in terms of what the Prime Minister is responding with here, certainly nothing that she's being hostage to or committing herself to beyond more engagement.
But the Prime Minister, well, the Conservative Party aren't really giving any commitments at the moment, are they?
They're not, and why should they?
Exactly, so we can't expect, to be fair, again, to the executive office, when people look through this letter and say, well, look, you know, there's not many commitments. There aren't many commitments across the board in the UK at the moment.
Well, there aren't, and there won't be, but I think the central issue here is whether Sinn Féin's half of the executive office accepts that Article 50 can be triggered. Once that happens, then we can get into the various debates, I suppose, about the electricity market, about gas, about where the border is drawn, and the central issue as to whether the border now moves to Stranraer, as the last Prime Minister suggested it might. But if there's a belief by Sinn Féin, and there's some evidence of that through the High Court challenge at the moment, that they can actually just block this completely, then there's no real point getting into a debate as to where we might go after Brexit.
Okay, Sam, thank you. Alex Kane with us this morning as well. Alex?
Good morning, Stephen. In terms of the letter, I think there's a classic Yes Minister exchange between Jim Hacker and Sir Humphrey when Jim says, we got a reply to our letter, very informative. And then Sir Humphrey replies, oh, I'm glad you think so, Minister. And that's exactly what this is. There's no answer to anything. It's what John said earlier. It's a very broad brushstroke. Read it as you wish to read it.
And we wish to see, she says, I'm just reading through this, we wish to see the continuance of the free movement of people and goods across the island of Ireland.
They say that, but they've nowhere nailed it down. That's the trouble with this, Steve. They can say anything like that in a letter like this because they haven't had the negotiations, not only the internal negotiations in the United Kingdom, but also the ones with the Republic of Ireland. They haven't had it with their still European partners. No one is going to know because a lot of this depends.
Well, it rules out a hard border, Alex. Immediately rules it out.
Well, in fairness, there was never going to be a hard border. Right the way through, you and I had this conversation all the way through the referendum. There was never going to be a hard border. But John Campbell is right. They're going to have to find some way, probably electronic way, of monitoring what's going back and forward across that border. But in terms, if you're saying that somewhere they're going to have to build into this where you push the border in terms of stopping people coming into the United Kingdom through the Republic of Ireland, that's going to be enormously difficult. But that was never going to be dependent on hard or soft borders because people can be smuggled back and forward or moved back and forward. We've seen that with what's happening across Europe, particularly with the refugee crisis, but all the way over the past 30 years, the numbers of people, the reality is, Stephen, the European Union, by its own admission, doesn't actually have hard figures on the numbers of people who come backwards and forwards across borders.
Alex, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. I'm just making sure this is up on our website, which we're doing right now. If you want to see this letter from the Prime Minister to Martin McGuinness and Arlene Foster, it's on our Twitter feed right now. At Stephen Nolan.